You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, we are so excited to turn to John chapter 11. If you got a Bible, I want you to turn there. If not, there's one right there in front of you. You can pull it right out of the chair seat back in front of you and grab that with you. I don't know if you've got some Easter traditions in your house. I bet I can name a few. You probably got an Easter tradition of dyeing eggs. That's probably a good one. You got an Easter tradition of eating too much chocolate. That's a real good one right there as well. Maybe it's going out to lunch today. You go to a certain restaurant or you have a certain meal at home that you do, whatever it is. We have some kind of unusual ones at our house. We do an egg toss every year, so that will happen this afternoon, and we'll throw the eggs and somebody's going to get egg all over them. And then because we're a loving family, we have confetti eggs and we take those out and we peg each other with confetti eggs is what we do. Even my 79-year-old mom gets after it. She's probably not too glad I just told the whole church her age, but we throw eggs at her very gently and she throws them back at us very gently as well. But it makes for a kind of a fun backyard mess is what it makes. Well, I did a little research of what are some other Easter traditions that happen around the world? And so I found some that are pretty funny. Some of them are kind of interesting. If you are in the country of Hungary, not that you are hungry, but you're in the country of Hungary, this is what would happen to you ladies, is the men would take buckets of water, you would dress in traditional kind of garb, and as you run through, they would throw buckets of water on you. I think we have a picture. How would you like that on your Easter best? You're getting water dumped on you, okay? Kids, don't do this to mom. You will be grounded if this happens, all right? If you were to go to France, Napoleon came through France, obviously, and he had omelets at this one town, and he liked them so much, he said, I want you to serve the whole army omelets. So to this day, everybody cracks eggs, thousands of eggs, and they bring it to the town square, and they make one big omelet to serve the entire town. Can we on the count of three say gross? One, two, three, gross. That's what I'm saying as well. It is definitely pre-COVID meal happening there to be sharing eggs in this town square that you brought from home. If you were to go into Poland, this one's got to be invented by the men. Beautiful bread. Doesn't that look good? It looks better than the omelet we just looked at. If you were to go to Poland, this Easter bread, this beautiful, great tasting, anything covered in powdered sugar is going to be good, right? Easter bread, here's the tradition there, that if the men help, their mustaches will turn gray and the bread will not rise. That had to be invented by men to get out of work is what that was. Saying, I don't want to be in the kitchen, so we're going to come up with some tradition to be able to have that. If you were to go to Spain on the Mediterranean coast in particular, you'd see that groups of people would come and they'd be dressed in all different colors and they'd all meet together and they'd release doves to be able to symbolize the resurrection of Jesus. They would have drums, they would have fireworks, they would have horns. It'd be really, really loud to celebrate Jesus is alive. So that's kind of cool. Just make it noisy, he's alive. The last one is in Greece. If you were to go to Greece, you'd find that they dye Easter eggs, but all of the Easter eggs they dye are red. This beautiful, beautiful, deep, deep red. Now, when we try to dye red Easter eggs with little tablets and a little bit of vinegar, they come out pink, right? These are red eggs that come out red, red, red. Now, why do they do that? They do that for this reason. They do that to symbolize the blood of Jesus Christ. So the red egg symbolizes the blood of Christ. Cracking of the shell symbolizes opening of the tomb. Coming forth of the egg celebrates new life. Isn't that a great tradition? How cool is that? And so as we look at all of these traditions, I just want to tell you that Easter is about the blood. It's about the red egg, if you will. It's about the cracked open tomb. It's about Jesus being born of a virgin, living a sinless life, dying on the cross, shedding his blood so that he'd be placed in a borrowed tomb. The tomb could be opened up and Jesus Christ could be resurrected again. It's not just about rabbits and chocolate and fake grass and baskets. It's about the Savior of the world, the resurrection and the life. It's about a red egg. It's about a new life. It's about a tradition of saying Jesus is alive. And it's the miraculous. Now, we're going to look into John in chapter 11. But let me tell you something about John in the macro sense. John has seven miracles in it. And we're going to see the seventh miracle, and that's going to be Lazarus coming out of the tomb. And Lazarus coming out of the tomb is to prepare us for the biggest miracle, which is Jesus coming out of the tomb. So there's seven miracles in the book of John, and there's seven I am statements where Jesus says, this is who I am. And we're going to see one of those here today, the fourth one of I am the resurrection and the life. So I want you to look, if you will, in chapter 11, verse 23, because Lazarus is us. That's who Lazarus is. It's us. We're trusting that through Jesus, that the stone of our grave will be rolled away as well. Verse 23, here's what it says. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again on the resurrection at the last day. I got my theology. I'm just in the midst of grief. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. That's a huge statement. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. So Jesus makes this huge statement. I am the resurrection and I am the life. That your brother Lazarus, Martha is his brother is Lazarus. Mary is the sister as well, not Mary, the mother of Jesus, a different Mary. But to have all of those three together, their brother has died and now they're waiting for this miracle, hoping that Jesus would do something about it. And he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you know that we fear death and therefore we deny it? We fear death and we deny it. All of us fear death. Nobody wants to die. We're like, I don't even want to talk about it. I mean, it's Easter. I mean, why are you talking about death on Easter? We should be talking about like pastel colors and pretty things and flowers. But now you're talking about death. What's the deal with this? We have to ponder death. We have to get to a place of understanding. We will die. You will die. I will die. There's a 100% chance you're dying. And death first has to be pondered so that we can appreciate resurrection. You'll never appreciate in the depths of your soul resurrection until you've really come to the place of pondering death. And that's what makes Easter amazing today for those of you that have lost loved ones that knew Jesus Christ as Savior, that you can celebrate their resurrection, that they're in heaven with the Lord, that the death was not the end. That was just the doorway into eternity. So we deny death. We fear death because it hurts so much and we don't want to think about it in our own lives. So we can watch a violent movie and be separated from it. That's what happens to other people. It's not what happens to us. And we end up with death in a place where we just want it to be a stranger. We want it to be pushed away. We don't want to think about it. But we've got to think about death, our death, if we're ever going to get to a place of receiving a personal Savior and trusting in Him to be our resurrection and our life. Peter Kraft is a man that wrote a book called Love is Stronger Than Death. And it's a powerful book. I've read it. And if you want to read a book on death, this is a good one to read, okay? And so it's an amazing book, but he's got this quote in it that makes me think about the busyness of our life. Talking about denying death, here's what he says. This explains our fear of silence. We need noise to distract us from the knowledge of our ignorance of life and death. Life is ultimately meaningless to us, but if there is enough noise, we will never need to hear this terrible silence. Keep your AirPods in. Keep the TV on. Stay busy. Whatever you do, stay busy. As long as you can stay in traffic with the radio on, with more things to do and more errands to run, you'll never have to ponder death. But when we truly ponder and slow it down to realize it's coming for all of us, we then have to say, well, then I need a Savior. Well, then I need a resurrection. Well, then I need my tomb to be emptied. I need the tomb to roll away for me, the stone to roll away. Death tests our faith and focuses our need on God and for a Savior. We must deal with death before we can appreciate the resurrection. It's hard, it's sad, but joy comes in knowing that Jesus Christ has conquered death. That's what Easter is. He's conquered death. See, Easter, and we'll see in a minute, and Lazarus's rising conquers our greatest fear. Easter and the fact that we'll see Lazarus rising again It conquers our greatest fear. Now, let me give you something here. Lazarus was not resurrected. Lazarus was resuscitated because he was going to die again. But when you and I die, the chances are you're not going to be resuscitated and Jesus showing up at your house with your sister and saying, okay, I'll raise him back up again. It's going to be a resurrection for eternity because your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Calvin Miller puts it like this. Death is not a threat to genuine life, but it is a paper tiger that is no longer free to terrorize us. Once we know the truth about the outcome of the cross, death is but a temporary inconvenience that separates our smaller living from our greater being. You're not really alive compared to when, if you're a believer in Christ, when you step into heaven, that's where true life, abundant life, that's where all, that's, you see God face to face, wow, for all of eternity. Heaven, trusting the Lord with our death, that there will be resurrection. That's why at Easter we have things of life like eggs and rabbits and spring flowers and bright colors and sunrise services, because that light is symbolizing the life that is to come and that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Let me tell you just a little funny story about a little girl. Her name was Casey. She was 5 years old, and she had an older sister named Jamie. And she had watched her older sister, some of you that are younger siblings, you know how this works. You watch your older sibling do all these things. You're like, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. So Casey had been watching Jamie go to kindergarten, and now it was time for Casey to go to kindergarten. She was excited. She was ready. It was summertime. It was coming. She was prepared, and she fell down in the summertime with her sister, and she skinned her knee, and she got up just crying and crying and crying, and her older sister Jamie came and tried to help her a little bit and console her, and then finally she just kept crying and crying. Jamie said, look, Casey, look. It's going to be fine. And even if you die, I mean, over a skin knee, even if you die, you're going to heaven. And Casey cried even harder and harder and said, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to kindergarten. And isn't that just like us? I don't want to go to heaven. We're going to the Bahamas this summer. I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go eat out again. I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to that ball game. I want to go, you know, on it goes. When we know in our hearts, though, that true life and the greatest that could ever happen, that actually is heaven. But so many times we spend our life just wanting to live in kindergarten, denying death and never trusting that we need a resurrection and we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the one that conquers our greatest fear. How? Because he's the resurrection and the life. Did you see verse 25? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, there's 7 I am statements in the book of John. And I want you to hear that 4 of them, at least, you could kind of try it, tie it into some other ones, but 4 at least talk about him being the life. Jesus isn't just alive. He is life. He wasn't granted life. He is life. He's always been. He's always will be. He's never not been. He's never going to not be. He is alive. He is the essence of life. The first I am statement in John 6 was this. I am the bread of life. Then I am the light of the world. I'm the door of the sheep. Is the next one. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the good shepherd. See if you can finish this one with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the last one, I am the true vine, even giving life then. I wrote a book on the 7 I am statements of Jesus in the book of John. They're based, many of them, in life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And guess what? Martha believes it. Martha believes it. He asked her point blank. He says, do you believe this? And Martha replied, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. Belief in Jesus is a personal decision. See what he did? He said, Martha, do you believe? You may be here and you're like, well, I'm from a Christian family. Doesn't matter. Do you believe? Well, I grew up in America. Doesn't matter. Do you believe? Well, I go to church. Doesn't matter. Do you believe? I go to church more than anybody else in this room. I can promise you that, okay? I live here, right? I mean, this is just, I go home, but I'm here a lot. But when I step forth into heaven, I'm not going to be like, I preached a lot of Easter sermons. I really was at church a lot, God. It's going to be, I believe that you are the resurrection and the life, and my resurrection is based in your resurrection. I believe in the red egg, Lord, and the blood of Jesus has washed me clean and forgiven my sins. Martha, do you believe? That's the most important question you can hear this Easter to you, to right where you are. Do you believe? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior? See, what happens is Jesus does something amazing with that belief. He changes our hearts and changes our lives. Now watch as Jesus enters into the scene. Lazarus is dead. Martha and Mary are grieving. Folks around them are grieving as well. I want you to look at verse 32. In verse 32, it's going to talk about his grief and their grief. Verse 32, death isn't fun. We're not trying to make it fun. It's not. It's filled with grief. Verse 32, as soon as Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet. Anytime you want to find Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. And told him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She's got belief as well. When Jesus saw her crying, that word means wailing. And the Jews who had come with her crying, wailing, and he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Remember that for just a minute. He was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. Verse 35, everybody's favorite memory verse, Jesus wept, all right? We can remember that. Verse 36, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, couldn't he have opened the eyes of the blind man? Couldn't he have also kept this man from dying? Now here's what Jesus comes. He comes to this scene, and it says that he's troubled in his spirit because he sees all these tears. He sees Lazarus is dead. He's troubled in his spirit, and it means in the Greek, it's like a snort of an animal. It's like an aggression of a bull. It's like a horse saying, I'm upset about this. It's a snort. It's a furrowed brow. Now, why is Jesus upset at this death? For this reason. Now, you got to hear me all the way through. Death is not a part of the plan of God. How can I say that when everybody dies? Remember the garden? Adam and Eve and everything was supposed to be perfect. And what happened? They took the fruit and they sinned. And he said, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will surely die. In the Hebrew, it says, in die, die. You'll double die. And so death, Romans tells us, the wages of sin is death. Sin brings death. God's plan was for relationship for eternity with us. So Jesus sees death, watch, and he snorts, if you will. He's troubled in his spirit, not at mourning, not in grief, not that Lazarus died, but that sin brought this consequence. The wages of sin is death. God doesn't like sin. Jesus doesn't like sin. Jesus and God hate sin, right? And we should too. So we're going to get stuck if we don't get something else. If God hates sin and Jesus hates sin and he snorts at it, disdains it, if you will, and I know that I've got sin in my life, does that mean that he hates me? If he hates sin, if he's troubled by sin, does he hate me? Is he troubled by me? Well, the next thing that happens is Jesus weeps with the people. His compassion comes. It doesn't end with his righteousness in that moment. His kindness leads us to repentance. Now he comes and he's weeping with the folks and he's there and he's compassionate and moved by them and their grief that they're going through. So let me put it together. Yes, God hates sin. There's no doubt about it. Should we stop sinning? Absolutely. But does he have compassion and love for us as well? I know you've been there before, but let me take you back there. Have you ever been to a situation, a place where you've walked into the house, you've walked into the memorial service, you've walked into the place where you've seen that loved one of yours and they're crying, and you know what happened, they know what happened, and you're crying, and you just hug and you don't say a word? That's what Jesus is doing right now. He has compassion over your cancer. He has compassion over your distant relationship with your kids. He has compassion over your marriage that's not going well. He has compassion over the job that you hate. He has compassion over all these things, even your grief, to come and to just hug in that moment and say, I love you and I care for you. Little story told of a little girl that her best friend down the street died. And she told her mom, she said, I want to go down the street and I want to encourage and help the mom of my friend that died. So the mom, of course, said, sure, okay. So she took her down there and the little girl went in the house and she came back to her house and she said, Mom, I think I really encouraged her. And she said, what did you say that really encouraged her? And the little girl said, I didn't say anything. I just crawled up in her lap and cried with her. That's what Jesus is doing right here. He's crying with these people because he understands their grief. And I want you to know the hug of God today. He's the resurrection and the life. And death is hard. It's very hard. That's why we don't like to think about it. But we can come in the strength of knowing that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. And so sin can die in us so that death dies in us so that resurrection can be true when we die and we can step into heaven and we can feel the embrace of God even on planet Earth, that he's deeply moved in a tearful hug. Do you know, though, that Jesus is never in the presence of death without bringing life? Jesus is never seen in the presence of death without giving life. If you look through this whole Bible, you'll never find Jesus at a funeral, which the person didn't come back to life. It's the son of one gentleman, and Jesus showed up, and he came back to life. The widow's son came back to life, the man's daughter came back to life. The widow's son came back to life. You know that in Matthew chapter 27, it says that on Jesus on the cross, but Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rock split. Verse 52, listen to this. The tombs were also opened that many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, that's what the Bible calls death, were raised. And they came out of the tombs after his resurrection and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Do you get that? On the cross of Christ, when he died and said, it is finished, the tombs began to shake and broke open. Then at the resurrection of Christ, those believers got out of the tomb and headed into the holy city. That's Jerusalem. Can you imagine being in Jerusalem? You're like, there's Uncle Pete. What's he doing here? He died 10 years ago. He's alive. What's going on? Let me put it in Houston terms. You ready? Elvis is singing at the rodeo again. How about that? That's what it is. You show up at the rodeo and honka honka burning love, he's singing it. You're like, I believe. This is real. This is true. Jesus and death cannot be in the same place. So I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ is your Savior, you just wait for the resurrection when you die. Because he lives in your heart. The red egg is in you. The blood has been shed for you. And the stone's been rolled away. Watch Lazarus and see if it doesn't sound just like Easter. Lazarus is us. Look at verse 38. Look at verse 38 of John chapter 11. Here's what it says. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, you know what that means, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Does that sound familiar on Easter Sunday? It's a cave with a stone lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said, just as the angel said when it was his stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there's already a stench because he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of this crowd standing here today, so that they may believe that you sent me. He says these things. And after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out bound hand and foot and linen strips, sound familiar, with his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go. The stone's rolled away to get us ready for the stone to be rolled away. They're going to help him unwrap out of the grave clothes. But Jesus, because he's resurrected, not resuscitated, he's out of the grave clothes and they're laying in the tomb right there. And so here we see Lazarus is getting us ready for Jesus's resurrection and showing us that Jesus can set us free in our own resurrection. That we, when we know Jesus and trust Christ, he can say to us, Greg, come out. Now notice he said to Martha, Martha, do you believe? Very personal. And he said, Lazarus, very personal, come out. Two personal moments because he's a personal savior. If he would not have said, Lazarus, come out, the entire cemetery would have came out. If he'd have said, come out, dead people. This is Thriller, Thriller Night. Lazarus, come out. Martha, do you believe? Because he's a personal Savior that saves our soul. Let me give you three things we need in the city of Houston. Number one, Jesus saves us. We need to know that. Jesus saves us. It's personal. Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? Number two, Jesus can restore relationships. Lazarus is back with his sister Mary and his sister Martha. The family's back together again. Jesus can restore relationships. Aren't you looking forward to seeing some of your loved ones when you get to heaven? And at the same time, Jesus can restore relationships here on planet Earth. Jesus can put your marriage back together. Jesus can put your wayward son or daughter back in the home. Jesus can right that relationship. And so I want to give you a risk this Easter. Would you send a text? Pray about it, yes, but send a text and just say, hey, I love you. I know there's beef between us, but I just want you to know I love you and I care for you more than I care for those issues, and just see what happens. They may ghost you. That's fine. You just be a forgiver. You let it go. You let the relationship be restored because of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. Jesus saves us. Jesus restores relationships. And number three, Jesus is our route to heaven. A lot of us think, well, it's all going to work out when I die. It's not going to all work out when you die. You have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the resurrection and the life. Not your good works are not the resurrection and the life. Not just it's all going to work out is the resurrection and life. Not just you kind of have been around some Christians and grew up in a Christian home is the resurrection and life. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and life. So Martha, do you believe? Lazarus, come out. He's a personal Savior. The way that you trust in Jesus and the way that you know is you know the red egg is true. And you say it's about the blood. It's about the empty tomb. It's about new life, new birth in Jesus Christ. And that when I die, I will step in to heaven with him through the doorway of the red egg of Jesus. Last illustration and we're done. Winston Churchill obviously was an amazing leader for World War II. Helped us a lot too, by the way. But particularly in England, I'm actually going through a book right now about the Blitzkrieg of Germany coming against London. Very interesting book. So I've read things on Winston Churchill. I've toured things in London about Winston Churchill. He, when he died, all of London was like, whoa. All of England was like, whoa. They had a bugler stand up on the top of St. Paul's Cathedral, a massive, massive cathedral in the city of London, and he played taps. You know taps, it's what they play at military funerals. It's what they play at the end of the day for the military. It's very solemn. They played taps. But Winston Churchill had made a request. He said, as soon as you play taps, when that's done, all of England stood solemn listening to taps. Not a word out of any mouth on the street in London. They heard taps coming from St. Paul's Cathedral. He said, as soon as you finish taps, I want you to play Reveille. And then right when taps was ended, Reveille came. And I just tell you, yes, Lazarus, you're going to die. Yes, I'm going to die. Yes, you're going to die. That's going to happen. But right after that taps, if you know Jesus Christ and you've trusted in the red egg of Christ, then Reveille will play as you step through the doorway with Jesus to live for all of eternity. Oh, Martha, do you believe? Have you placed your trust in him? It's more than a tradition. It's the truth. Jesus died and rose again for me and for you. Lord, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the red egg. We thank you, Lord, for the strength, for the trust, for the power, for who you are, Lord. And we just come to place our faith, our trust, and you alone, you are the resurrection and the life. Not our good works, not our effort, not our attendance, not our family lineage. You are the resurrection and the life. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to say yes, just like Martha. Yes, I believe you're the Messiah. Would you pray and just repeat after me? Jesus, I believe you're the Savior of the world. And I ask you to be my Savior. Forgive my sins through your blood. Wash me clean. I ask for your forgiveness. I trust that your death was my death, and your resurrection will be my resurrection. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. If you prayed that and you meant that with the sincerity of your heart, Jesus Christ, the red egg, the blood, the body, the new life, the empty tomb, you will be the Lazarus. It is not resuscitated, but resurrected on that last day. If you're a believer in Christ already, would you just thank God for the resurrection, that Lazarus is just a precursor of what will happen with you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.